This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم وبعد. Respected brothers and also we have sisters listening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, all praises for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah wa shukrulillah. And I would like to thank the organizers of this masjid here, our brother here who just introduced me, who said I was here 20 years ago. I did deliver a talk, I think, 20 years ago. And I think maybe after that once, I'm not too sure, I can't remember. I did once, I think. And our Imam Sahib as well, mashallah. I know them both for a long time. May Allah bless both of them and the rest of the people involved here in the masjid. All of you, thankful to you for coming today, taking out your Sunday evening. Normally Sunday evening, people are preparing for the next day, Monday. Children are going to school. We have holidays in Leicester from tomorrow. I don't know if that's the same here for the children. Summer, is it next week? Okay, so we start 1 week early. Today's topic is a very important topic. And in the next 35, 40 minutes, I just want to talk about this topic with some general guidelines for our reminder and for us to understand, inshallah ta'ala. Our deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, Islam, Quran, Hadith, the teachings of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it relates to every aspect of life. From the moment a person is born, there are ahkam till a person dies and after they die. So we have ahkam, laws, rules, regulations relating to childbirth, pregnancy, before birth and after death. During pregnancy and then childbirth and the rules of and the etiquettes, ahkam of the childbirth, as soon as a child comes into this dunya, adhan in one ear, iqama in the other one, instilling iman and tawheed in the heart and mind of the Muslim, of the small child. Ahkamul Mawdud. There's actually a whole book written. Tuhfatul Mawdud bi Ahkamul Mawlud. Ahkam of the newborn. Likewise, there are ahkam for the mayyit and the deceased. From the beginning of life till the end of life. And in every area of life, Islamic laws are divided into various categories. I'm not going to go into this, but there's ibadat, which is worship Allah, you know, salah, sawm, zakat, hajj, etc. But then we have different branches of the laws of Islam. Mu'ashara is a very important branch of Islam. And mu'ashara means laws and rules of and etiquettes of marriage, of divorce, of living with others, social etiquettes, social laws. That's a whole branch of Islam. And then you have mu'amalat, financial, commercial matters. One of the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions that one of the things that will be questioned on Yawm al-Qiyamah will be about our wealth, minayna iktasabahu, where we acquired it from, how we earned it and how we spent it. In and out, how it came to us and how it left us. So monetary matters, this is a branch of Islam known as mu'amalat. Financial transaction, monetary matters, money matters, matters, money matters, and money matters. Money matters, i.e. money issues. And for a lot of people, and of course, money does matter. Money matters. So these money matters, very important branch of the teachings of Islam. Do you know the longest verse in the Quran? Is not to do with salah, is not to do with tasbih, istighfar, even these things are very important. fasting. The longest verse in the Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed is known as Ayatul Mudayana, the verse relating to credit transactions. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu idha tadayantum bidaynin ila ajalin musamman faktubuh walyaktub baynakum katibun bil'adl. O you who believe, when you take a loan transaction, credit transaction, faktubuhu, write it down, make a contract, even if it's £2. Abdullah took £2 from Zayd, Amr Bakr, will be repaid on this time. وَلْيَكْتُبْ بَيْنَكُمْ كَاتِبٌ بِالْعَدْلِ, and a scribe should write in between them with adl, with justice. وَلَا يَعْبَ كَاتِبٌ أَنْ يَكْتُبْ, and if someone requests you to write it because they can't write it themselves, then don't refuse, write it for them. And the whole verse. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ, do not consume each other's wealth unlawfully. بِالْبَاطِلِ, in a haram way. This is a very, very important branch of Islam. A lot of people neglect it. A really, really important branch of Islam is the branch that deals with financial matters, money issues. Books of hadith are filled. You know, when we read books of hadith, and the ulama and people know, students of knowledge know, that we start with tahara, salah, etc. But then you have abwabul buyu'. I recently, you know, had a translation commentary which on Sunan of Imam Tirmidhi with all the hadiths and detail aspect of buyu', financial dealings, abwab al-buyu', monetary matters. And some of the laws are so important because neglecting them makes our life difficult and the next life difficult. And one of them is to relate to inheritance. Like one of the issues, for example, of not just inheritance but generally financial matters, is to make transactions clear. There's a saying, some said it's a hadith, some said it's a saying of a sahabi, some said it's a saying of a tabi'i. Regardless, it's necessary and it's true, it's correct. And based on the spirit of the Quran and Sunnah, it could be, as a hadith, it's narrated as a weak, as a hadith. But that doesn't mean the statement is wrong. تَعَاشَرُوا كَالْإِخْوَانِ وَتَعَامَلُوا كَالْأَجَانِبِ, live like brothers and sisters, but transact like strangers. Live like brothers and sisters, deal, transact like strangers. Now this is a massive problem. You know, if you ask most of the imams and muftis and scholars, I'll tell you out of my own experience, he mentioned Darul Ifta for the past 20 years, what topic do we receive most questions on? Two topics. Out of 100%, if I give you percentage, maybe 50% issues, people ask for fatwa and answers and for the questions, 50%, what do you think? Divorce. Another 30% is inheritance. There's 20% other issues. Woman matters, money matters. And one of the main issues, just recently, last week, sometimes you would say, I say to them, like, wrote an answer back. I said, sorry, I can't help. There's no solution. Because things are not made clear. You have a family, joint family. The father starts the business. One son graduates, joins the business, spends money in the house, or joins the business. What, in what capacity is he doing the business? Is he employed by the father? Is he voluntarily helping the father? Is he got a share in the business? There's a house. One of the sons pays money to, you know, extend the house. The other one pays money. In what capacity? Is it just voluntary? Is it his share? Is it, what is it? Nobody. When we say it's family issues, nobody, how can you talk about these things in their family? But then, no problem now, but after 30 years, you might be ready to kill one another. There are cases that people actually shoot one another, kill one another because of money. Now this case, just because it's, I've had this case many times, but just as last week, that's why I remember this. The brother asked me this question, that we are three brothers, one sister, the father's passed away, he passed away COVID time, rahimahullah. The mother, there was some property in Pakistan, and we don't know this, we don't know that, the property in Pakistan, who owned it, we think the mother, father owned it, but then there was money in their bank account in Pakistan. My mother got the money and she just kept it, gave some brothers something, but I think it was from, it's all I think, nobody knows anything. One penny, 1 inch of land, man akhadha shibram min al-ard, the hadith says, 1 inch of land you take off someone else, there's punishment. Tawwaqallahu sab'ina ardan yawm al-qiyamah. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. Even a small part of someone's wealth we take unlawfully. Things need to be made clear. That's the first very important point with any financial matters. If you've got a house, who owns this house? Make it absolutely clear in this life. Because after we die, we can't tell anyone anything. Make it clear. These, all these inheritance laws and wills and all of this, that comes afterwards. Start with the basics. Who owns what? You must have heard one of the subcontinent scholars, Sheikh Mawlana Mufti Muhammad Shafi' rahimahullah, the author of Ma'ariful Quran. Before he passed away, he was, you know, like few years or in the last few months of his life, he was bedridden, so they made a room for him downstairs, like, you know, generally people. So his son is my teacher, Sheikh Mufti Taqi Uthmani, Hafizullah. I've heard this from him many times, that he was there, we were sitting in his room, in his gathering, and he asked for some water or milk, and I went and got it from the, you know, inside the house, from wherever it was kept, water, and I gave it to him. After he drank it, he gave it back to me, said, take it back, the cup, I finished. So they were sitting and he was talking, there was a majlis, so he put the cup down on the table. After 10 minutes, he said, my father saw the table, he said, I told you to take this, haven't you taken it? He said, yeah, I've just kept it there, inshallah, when the gathering ends, when you finish talking, I'll take it later. He said, no, now take it. I have written in my will that when my soul leaves this dunya, everything in this room belongs to me, everything outside this room belongs to your mother. This cup belongs to your mother. This is my will written, clear. And if this cup stays in this room and I die, it will be wrongly attributed to me and there's inheritance in there, whereas there's no inheritance. This is your mother's cup. That's how careful they were. Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah ta'ala wa radi anhu, many of us follow. I think it's related regarding him, as far as I remember, that they went somewhere to see a person who was on his deathbed. As soon as he passed away, the lamp was on, off. You must have heard this incident. People said, darkness. He said, well, this light was on with his permission. As soon as a person dies, he doesn't own this light anymore. Ask all inheritance, are we allowed to use this light? People pass away, the man passes away in the house, we have to ask permission of all the inheritors, that can we actually come in your house? Even janaza time. People are eating and drinking, and imagine this, who does it belong to? There's a lot of delicacy in Islamic matters when it comes to these issues. So even in life, making matters clear, financial transactions made clear, تعاملوا تعاشروا كالإخوان وتعاملوا كالأجانب. Live like brothers and sisters, transact, deal like strangers. You have a business, family business, who owns what? What capacity? If your son has gone to university, studied, graduated, returned home, his business, sit down, write clear. He is being employed, what are his wages? If he's employed, monthly salary. Or does he have a share? 10% share in the business. Or is it free of charge? Sign, I am helping my father free of charge. Second son, third son, because when you pass away, these sons are gonna fight. No, one gets married, taking money out from the business, you took more money out, you took less money out. So just be clear from the beginning. Best way policy saves us problem, hassle in this life is to be clear from the beginning. Absolutely clear. It really, really helps. It gives peace of mind, tranquility, tamanina, no stress. Everything should be clear. The house you live in, if it's husband, wife, if you want, it doesn't matter who paid for it. You can still be jointly. You can just say clearly. You can tell all your children, make them sit down, say, you know what? This house belongs to me and your mother. Tell them all clearly. Make everybody witness, if you want to, that is. If you want to not make it, give it to one of the spouses, then say, this house belongs to me. Because if the house belongs to the husband, he passes away, then there's inheritance in the whole house. The children are not duty bound. They don't have to let the mother stay in the full house. If they say no, they're not sinful. They should do, let the mother stay, but they're not sinful. I remember once an elderly brother came to me. He was writing his will. So we sat down and he was talking about this house issue. He was talking about children. He said, I want to give... Okay, I'll mention that in a bit. So this is the first point, so I don't mix it up. The first point is make things all clear. In life, make all of these transactions, ownerships, who owns what, how much, in the family as well, make it clear. That's a really important point. Very, very important point. Because if we don't, later on, things become very muddy, very unclear, complicated. We don't know who owns what. So this is generally with all financial dealings, whether it's inheritance or no inheritance. Just clear, mu'amalat is a very important branch of Islam. Very important branch of Islam. Numerous ahadith and ayat of the Quran of how we earn our money, how we acquire halal tayyib money. Then specifically about inheritance, there are a few points. Now inheritance is one branch of the mu'amalat, the whole monetary, financial branch. Inheritance, because it's to do with money. Now a lot of people don't understand. There's so many ayat and ahadith, you know, these are regarding inheritance. Allah says, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَعْتَدُوهَا وَمَنْ تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ. These are the limits set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After he mentions all the laws of inheritance, يوصيكم الله في أولادكم للذكر مثل حظ الأنثيين فإن كن نساء فوق اثنتين فلهن ثلث ما ترك وإن كانت واحدة فلها النصف وليبويه لكل واحد. Who is the hafiz of the Quran? They say this is a complicated, you know, verses of the Quran, because one third and one this and one that. But it's this inheritance, and the point is that, you know, from all the fiqh rulings of Islam, inheritance ones are the most straightforward. There's no much differences between Hanafi, Maliki, Shafi'i, Hanbali. It's very simple, straightforward. And it's a very just system. Very just system. There's no time to explain the hikam and the wisdoms behind and the deeper meanings of this. But the point I'm trying to make here, that we need to understand there's a difference between gift and inheritance. This is what I was saying, the example I was giving. Point number one about inheritance. Lots of people make a massive mistake in not distinguishing. I've explained this to so many people over the phone. There is a massive difference between inheritance and gift. Gift is hadiya, hiba, hadiya or hadiya, Urdu or Arabic. Gift. Or any other language? I don't know. French, what do you call it? Sorry? So, gift, what is a gift? Gift is something you give to somebody when? In your lifetime. Okay? If I want to give you a gift of my phone, if I want to, I'm not giving it to you. But if I want to give, this is a gift. There are rules for gift. One of the rules of gift is لا تتم الهبة إلا بالقبول وبالقبض. This is not a hadith, it's a fiqh text I read, but based on Quranic verses and hadith, a hadiyah is not complete until the recipient does not take ownership and doesn't take control and possession over it. Depends what the item is. If it's a house, then if it's a phone, you take it in your hand. If it's a house, then the property deeds or control or possession, constructive possession, etc., etc. But the recipient takes it. That's a gift. Inheritance is not a gift. Inheritance is what? Inheritance, we're not giving it. If it was up to us, we wouldn't give it to a lot of people. Allah is already fixing who shall get what after we pass away. It's not even ours. It doesn't even belong to us. As soon as the soul, the ruh, leaves the body, exactly that moment, everything we own, we have, it's not ours anymore. Khalas, finish. Ownership's gone. So if we don't own it, how can I say after I die this person gets this? I don't own it. Imagine I say, okay, this phone, I'm giving this phone to you. Can I say I'm giving you this phone? Why not? I don't own it. I have no control and say over this phone. It's his phone. I can't give anyone's item to somebody else. So to say that after I die, this thing gets to this person, it's not. I don't own it. It's got nothing to do with me. I used to have it. Not anymore. I used to have it once I was alive. Back in the day, once upon a time, this used to belong to me. And because this used to belong to me, Allah kept that much, that because it used to be yours, you have a relationship with it. It used to be yours when you were alive in dunya. Your soul's gone. Because it used to be yours, inshallah, will allow you one third. You can think about one third what you want to do when it's no longer yours as well, because of your old time sake relationship. One third, even though it's not yours, but you can say, after I die, one third to the masjid, to the madrasa, to this charity, to this friend. It could be anyone. It could, as long as there's condition. It can't be for anyone who's already getting from the two thirds. Alala wasiyyata liwarith. Alala wasiyyata liwarith. There is no wasiyya bequest for someone automatically inheriting. You can't give it to your son. You can't give it to your wife, your husband, your daughter. Because they're getting part of the two thirds, which Allah says, I'll give them. It's not yours. So one third, you, because you used to be yours, whilst you're alive, you can say that when I die, this wealth, when I will not own it, I will not have it, at that time, one third can be given to this charity, that charity, or even a friend. Even a friend. Even a non-Muslim. Even a non-Muslim, you can give it. It's not a problem. You can give it to anyone or anyone who have, except the people who automatically inherit. The immediate family members, you can't give them. But you can make a wasiyah for anybody else, Muslim, non-Muslim, whoever. Family, friend, anybody. It's like a hadiah, like a gift. I can give to non-Muslim. Can you give a gift to non-Muslim? You can give. I can give a gift to anybody. So that's like a gift of something we don't own, but we used to own. So now the massive mistake that people make is that they don't understand the difference between inheritance and gift. If you want to give someone in your lifetime, now with children. So this brother came to me. I want to give inheritance to my children. I said, give inheritance? Inheritance is after death. You're still alive. You're talking. Are you breathing? Yes. I said, how can you give an inheritance? Inheritance only starts after you die. No, I want to give them in this. I said, that means a gift. Then he said, understood. Okay, gift. I said, yes, you can give gift. Gift whilst you're alive, you can give to your family members. You can give, not a problem. So how much do they get? I said, look, there are no, this is not inheritance. It's not inheritance. So no rules of inheritance apply. You know, 1/6 and 1/8 and 1/4, none of that applies. The only thing that applies in gift is the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, اتقوا الله في أولادكم وعدلوا بين أولاد وعدلوا, be just. There was one Sahabi companion who came to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, O Messenger of Allah, I am sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I've given my son a gift. I want you to come and bless it and be a witness to it. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَوَكُلَّ وَلَدِكَ نَحَلْتَ مِثْلَهُ, have you given all your children similar gift? He said, no. He said, فَلَا تُشْهِدْنِي إِذَنْ إِنِّي لَا أُشْهِدُ عَلَى جَوْرٍ. Then I don't be witness to oppression, injustice. Don't make me a witness. Be just. If you're giving your children in your lifetime gift, you know, people talk about second marriages, third marriages, justice between multiple wives. Exactly the same, justice between multiple children. If you've got three sons, be just. Sons and daughters between them. Now, if you're giving in your life, inheritance rules don't apply. So now you give your son and daughter exactly the same. Some ulama have said that there is a flexibility of giving 2-to-1 as it would be in inheritance. It's okay. But still more better to give them equal. Because it's a gift, it's not inheritance. So if you're giving in your lifetime, it's a gift. You can give to your children in your lifetime. But remember, and this is the brother who came, elderly brother, sitting next to me. We were going through how to make his will, etc. I have three sons, I've got three properties, I want to give them. I said, yeah, you can give them. But remember, a gift is not complete until they don't take ownership and possession. He said, yeah, yeah, I'm giving them in their name, everything changing. So I said, where are you going to live? He says, one of the properties. I said, have they given you permission? No, no, I'm going to live until... No, make your mind up. Is it a gift or not a gift? I said, look, gift is that you give it to them. If they tell you tomorrow, dad, out, you have to be out. It's not yours. Can I stay in the house and keep rent until... No, no. You can't have your cake and eat it at the same time, as they say. You can't be this way. People are, you know, you have to be clear. You can't be here and there. This is the problem. I said, give it to them as a gift. It's theirs, no longer yours. Or, don't give it to them. You can't say, I'm giving it to them, but still, until I'm alive, I have to live in it. That's not your right. I can't say I'm living in your house. If they allow you, fine, but wholeheartedly, permission. And if they change their mind next week, you have to go. Find a rental property. He started scratching his head. Forget it, I'm not giving anybody anything. You can't trust children nowadays. No. They said they can flip like this. Who knows? Zamana bigar gaya hai. That's what he said. He said, I don't know what's going on. We don't know. I trust them, but who knows? So forget it. Same thing with wife as well. Husband, wife, joint ownership. One good way is to say to everybody that, you know what, everything in this house belongs jointly to husband, wife. Alhamdulillah, great. But you have to remember, anyone who dies, and I don't know why now, I know husbands, generally men die earlier, but it's always thought like it's just a man dying always first. Like it's possible the woman dies as well, the wife. It's always we think just the husband dies first. Shall I pray in my wife's name? What about the wife thinking that she might die first? That was back in the day when they used to go in the battle and, you know, fi sabilillah. That's when they used to die a lot, the men. So the house property, if you do jointly, then what's the ruling? That if anyone dies, let's say if the wife dies first, then what will happen? It's easy. 50% will remain in the ownership of the husband. The other 50% will be shared inheritance, and the husband will have his share as well as the children. And if the husband dies first, the wife will keep 50%, and in the other 50%, she'll keep her share as well as other people. Then they can divide it. The children can say, mother, no problem, you stay until, you know, no, we don't want it. Alhamdulillah, that's how they should be. It's great. But if anyone wants it, you have to give them that person their share. They're not doing anything wrong. They're not becoming bad people. Somebody wants their share, they're just giving, they want the basic right. It's not disrespectful to parents. You can't make them feel bad and guilty that, astaghfirullah, you're asking, you don't even let your mother stay, you know. It's not, it's their right. As long as, if the mother's not earning, etc., and then all the brothers, if they want their right, then of course they have to fulfill the right of the mother and maybe get a rented house or something and help her out, etc., like that. They need to help her out and make sure because of the rights of the mother, from that angle. But this basic inheritance right, if they're demanding it, there's nothing wrong in demanding it. So in life, if someone wants to give a gift, they can give a gift to anyone who they want. Condition is gift is complete, by the recipient taking ownership, possession, full control. It becomes theirs and it's theirs. Qabd. And if they don't, then it will be part of the inheritance. Now, part of the inheritance, and I'm not going to go into the rules of inheritance, etc., you know, the shares, etc. When it goes part of the inheritance, as I mentioned, one third we can make wasiyah, bequest. So we can say one third goes to the masjid, etc., like I just mentioned, or who it goes to. And that one third we cannot make. Now, yeah, the point is that, you know, a lot of times when people, when they want to write a will, etc., they say, okay, I want to make a will, I want to make an Islamic will, and we should all have a will. In the beginning of Islam, writing a will was fard. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ إِنْ تَرَكَ خَيْرًا الْوَصِيَّةُ لِلْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ. It is made fard upon you to write. This was before Allah allotted the shares. It was permissible for you to decide who to give what, how much. But write it down so there's no fights. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses that Allah has already fixed for who's getting what. You don't have a right to decide now. So then the obligation of writing will no longer remained. Then it became mustahab. Because you don't have to write, because why? Even if you don't write, the Islam's already fixed. So original ruling is that it's not a fard and wajib and necessary to write a will. However, if we are living in a country or in a place where if we don't write it, then it will be done in an unlawful, un-Islamic way, then because of that, it might become necessary. That you have to make sure that it's not done un-Islamically. So technically, it's not an obligation, but if you fear that your family won't do it Islamically, then we should write a will. And this is why I think Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said in the hadith that no one should pass let two nights pass by illa wa wasiyyatuhu maktuba indah, except that you should have your wasiyah written. And this is not for just old people, everyone should have wasiyah. Once you get baligh in your 20s, you should have wasiyah. Wasiyah doesn't mean like you're dying tomorrow. And you could die, who knows, nowadays no, nothing. You know, someone's 20, they die, someone's 60, before someone's who's 70, before, nothing's guaranteed. We should all have something written. It's really important to have something written, even at a young age. That's why Abdullah ibn Umar, when he heard the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I did not even let one night pass by except وَوَصِيَّتُهُ مَكْتُوبَةٌ تَحْتَ وِسَادَتِي, under my pillow he used to keep it. His wasiyah. He used to keep it. So, in there you just write. Now, a lot of people ask this wasiyah. When you write this will, last will, testament, whatever you want to call it, it depends on a lot of things. It depends on who you are and how much your estate is and how much you own. And if you just own a few hundred pounds, then you can write on a piece of paper. You can write on a tissue if you want, in pencil somewhere. You know, people are more interested in you when you have more money, including the government, including the Inland Revenue, including the tax people. So it just depends. Technically speaking, you could take a pen, write it on a piece of paper, it's valid. Sign it, date it, it's valid. Basic, if you know, will. It's valid. And witness as well, yeah. You don't have to have a sophisticated will. You don't need to go to a solicitor and pay £500. A lot of people make money out of everything nowadays. It's, you know, they come to advice to the imam or the sheikh or the mufti, it's like free of charge. And they go to, you know, one hour to the solicitor is £500. The mulvi is asking, you know, if there's, you know, fees for him, astaghfirullah, mulvi is asking for money and what is this? The same thing, the same advice, the same counseling, the same social advice, the same marriage problem advice, the same talaq advice, 12 o'clock midnight, we are bugging the imams and the ulama, but nobody wants to pay a penny. And you know, people who just do it more professionally, sitting in an office, they're doing the same thing. I've studied in psychology and all of this, counseling and all of this, and it's nothing. We have everything in deen and Islam. You know, people have mental health issues, and people have the psychological problems and depression and anxiety and OCD and waswas and obsessive compulsive disorder. It's like, it's everything in our deen. The imams do more than what you can get professional help. Much more. They just sometimes need someone to listen to, a shoulder to cry on, an ear that listens. You know, there was one counselor or a social advisor who was a non-Muslim. I spoke to him once at length. Now, what are the way you deal with people who come with these psychological problems, depression, anxiety? He said, there's nothing you can do. The main thing we help them is tell them, count your blessings. And this is the whole idea of Islam. I've delivered so many talks in the last 2-3 years, different places, about ni'mah of Allah, counting your blessings, about, you know, every part of ni'mah, every part of a blessing of Allah. Our bodies are blessings, food is blessing, drink is blessing, this, it's good for you mentally, peace, tranquility, happiness, to think about the ni'mah of Allah and thanking of Allah. This is all in our deen. And books, non-Muslims have written books on this, count your blessings, count your blessings, count your blessings, think positively, think positively. So then you'll just go for a one-hour counseling, and they pay like £200-300. That's like a bayan in the masjid. Honestly, sometimes you get more in the masjid bayan from the imam sahib. People feel good with, you know, this spirituality, and they just do it, you know, because it's an appointment and it's just £100, £200, £300. So that's what I'm saying to you: just save your money. Don't just go anywhere, everyone, throw your money like that. You, a lot of things you can do it yourself. Just speak to someone, you know. And inshallah, you will be helped. Likewise, even this will thing, and I don't want to take anyone out of service and business, so excuse me, but sometimes you might need to go to a professional person, especially if lots involved, a legal, you need a legal stamp, etc., then you will need that. But a lot of the times you don't need to. You don't need to. As long as you understand the basic concepts. So if you write on a piece of paper, anything I've written beforehand, I revoke it, and I now write. Now this is the problem, or the misunderstanding, sorry, not problem, misunderstanding, that people ask that, you know, I'm writing a will, how much shall I, who will get what? This is where the problem is. I say Allah has already decided. Because yeah, tell me what Allah has decided. Well, Allah has decided, but we don't know yet. Because we don't know when you're dying, who's dying first. Anyone dying before or after makes a massive difference in the whole calculation. No one knows who's going to die, when. You can't sit now and write, my son will get this, because your son might die before you. And if he dies before you, what your wife's going to get is different than what this person, it's all different. So you can't divide and start calculating and distribution it was in your life. Islamically, you just write that when I pass away, I want at that time my estate to be divided, to be distributed in accordance with the rules of Islam, Sharia. At that time, these are the executors. The executors are very powerful. You know, it's all in their hands. And you appoint those executors who are very powerful, very, you know, Islamic mind practicing. You carefully choose who they are. And there are some legal rules that, I think executors can be from your family, but witnesses can't. Witnesses have to be non-family. This is legally, not Islamically. Islamically, you can have it even in the family. But from a legal British law perspective, the witnesses have to be someone who's not related to the family, not married in the family, etc., etc. So you appoint good executors. It will be in their hands. At the time when I pass away, they will consult a mufti or an imam or a, you know, sheikh of knowledge, And you could just write according to the Quran and Sunnah, according to as explained by the Hanafi school if you want to do that. But as I said, there's not much differences in the various schools. At the time of my death, determine it. And that's it. And that's the wilda. Then when we pass away, at that time, not if we pass away, when we pass away. Not if, yeah, we are going to all die, of course. So when we die, inshallah. Inshallah, we are going to die. You know, when we go to the graveyard, what's a dua? As-salamu alaykum ya ahl al-qubur, antum as-sabiqoon, wa inna, inshallah bikum lahiqoon. One brother said to me, can I stop saying inshallah? Antum as-sabiqoon, you have preceded us, we will inshallah join you, we're coming. So he said, I feel a bit, when I said inshallah, I don't want to say inshallah, it's like making me go to my death quickly. Death is inevitable. وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدًا أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُ يُدْرِكُّمُ الْمَوْتِ وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدًا. You can't run away. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ. Before that, إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ, the death you are running away from, فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ, it's going to do mulaqat with you. مُلَاقِيكُمْ, it's going to meet you. So when we die, at that time, it will be divided according to who's alive at that time. So it's simple. So this is basically the summary. Like I said, there's lots of other rules. I mean, I don't know if I've missed something. I once wrote a small booklet on this. I thought I'll mention some things, but let me see if there's anything. Okay, some points when a person... Just anything important that I've missed out. Yeah, there's one thing here. It is important for the family afterwards to ensure that what? They what? Divide their estate according to Islamic rules. I've talked about the person dying. What about the responsibility of the people alive? If they don't do it in an Islamic way, they are sinful. Massive sin. Now, when we say massive sin, if they all agree in a different way, provided there's no force pressure, then it's permissible. You know, this sometimes people don't understand. Look, for example, if someone's passed away, and all the children and, you know, whoever's inheriting, they say, you know what, we're all going to do equally. Everyone happy, no problem. This is not four rak'at of dhuhr that you can only pray four and not pray five. You can do it differently. This will mean that each other is giving each other hadiah, forgiving. If they all agree, no pressure, no force, nothing on anyone, no psychological, mental, emotional pressure of any sort, complete happiness, if they all say that yes, Islam says this, they share, but we're just doing it in different, we all just want to give everybody equally. Everyone's happy, that's fine. Yeah, according to Sharia, it's permissible. It's permissible because Sharia is not saying you have to do it this way. Sharia is saying this is the right. If someone's forgiving their right, like for example, one person says, I don't even want anything. That's permissible. You don't have to take. Someone's being given more because others are giving. So each other are giving hadiyas to each other. This is Sharia saying that if someone demands, this is the right. But if you're giving up your right and giving someone more, then that's permissible. And also, and then also, if the person who passed away, if he wrote an un-Islamic will, then it's necessary that we don't follow that. If he wrote an un-Islamic will, it's haram to follow that legally. And this is why we say, people say, oh, you know, the will, this is the, we follow the law of the country. We follow the law of the country as long as it does not go against the law of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we have to follow the Islamic hudud of. And the law of this country doesn't force you to do it in an Islamic way. The law of the country allows you to do it however you want. The law is not saying you must, after the husband dies, everything must go to the wife. No, if you want to do it differently, you can do it differently. The law allows you to give it all to your cat and dogs as well. People write their wills and say, you know, my cats and dogs and my, you know, pets and rabbits will take the money. So the law allows everything. So if someone did not write an Islamic will, or wrote an Islamic will, or didn't write no will, or whatever, in every situation, the family members afterwards must do it according to Islamic shares, as long as they all want to do it like that. And if they want to do it all collectively, agree differently, then that's also fine, because then they're just giving gifts. But here you should be precautious, because we don't know, somebody might be pressured, forced. That's why the ulama say that, look, if you want to, if then just give everybody the Islamic share, then if they want to give someone else, then they give their hadiah. So if the daughter is saying, no, I don't want it, they might be pressurized, cultural, say, no, this is your share, here, take it. Now if you want to give it to somebody, you give it, just to be sure, because sometimes somebody out of, you know, just pressure, force, they might just say, no, I don't want it, I don't want it, because of culture. So that's a point. And I think, yeah, I've mentioned this as well. And as you know, that inheritance only starts at the beginning, you know, first funeral expenses are taken out, and then after that, any loans paid to any human beings, any creation of Allah, that has to be paid off, first and foremost. Whether the person makes a will, wasiya, one third or no. If all the money goes in paying someone's debt off, then everything goes. That's the first thing. If someone has debts, now debts are of two types. Debts payable to Allah, debts payable to human beings. This is only relating to debts payable to human beings. Any loans, any money that has not been paid to other people, that with or without any bequest, whether he wrote a will, he didn't write a will, if you want him to be forgiven, the hadith says, يُغْفَرُ لِلشَّهِيدِ كُلُّ ذَنْبٍ إِلَّا الدَّيْنِ. Even for a martyr, every sin is forgiven except dain, loan. Dain, you know, debts. It's, you know, debts, best not to take too many debts in life. It's not recommended in Sharia. It's permissible. But Islam doesn't encourage a debt-based life. Whereas this capitalist system makes us, even our eyebrows are debts, and our nostrils and everything, every inch of our organ, every breath is debt-based. This is how this system, capitalist system, works. They just, you know, really force it upon us, credit card after credit card after credit card. Don't need a credit card. I never had it. I just normal bank card. I've never had it. Then for something, I needed it because I had to get a credit card to buy that thing. So I got it, but then I used it at one time, and since then I've never used it again. Why do I need a credit card? I've got a pay-as-you-go life. I always say, a pay-as-you-go life is a stress-free life. Debt-based is, you know, it gives. That's why the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make a dua, you know, the famous dua, min al hammi wa min al huzni wa min al dain. Overcome by dain, oh Allah, protect me. A lot of people, they become depressed because of these dain worries. What you can afford, buy. If you can't, leave it. If you can't, only take loans if it's really, really needed in exceptional cases. Otherwise, you know, you'll get gray before you get gray. You'll get old before you get old. Less stress. You don't want tension, stress. You know, you mentioned to me, maybe that's a reason. I looked younger than I used to look 20 years ago. I have no debts. I've never, ever, ever taken a loan in my life. Never. Never ever. I think once about £5 from somebody, I just needed and paid him back in long time ago. Never taken a loan. There's nobody I owe money to. Alhamdulillah. It's just a simple, straightforward life. What am I going to eat tomorrow? I'll see tomorrow. So, Allahu alam. But it's, if you need, I know sometimes people need to take loans. So you take a loan, but these loans, they need to be paid regardless. Even if all the money goes, it has to be given. No, nothing left for inheritance, nothing left for inheritance. As for debt payable to Allah, what does that mean? Zakat. Even zakat is for poor, but it's a haqooqullah based. Allah has said give that. Or fidya, salah, unpaid, you know, or hajj, and things like that. That will not be taken out unless the person made the wasiyah and within just that one third. So if he wrote that will, that, you know, one third, please, you know, pay, do Hajj for me, or give this or this, you know, for Salah, unpaid Salah, unperformed Salah, fasts, only if he made a will. And if he didn't make a will, then the family all have to agree. And if they don't agree, they're not doing anything wrong. So this is to do with the debts, etc. Yeah, one third is after the loan. So after you pay the loan debts off to human beings, makhluq, ibad, hukuk al ibad, then after that, whatever's remainder, then after that, money will go if there's a bequest of debts payable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is bequests, and then there's, that's it, yeah, inshallah. We can end here. I think I've had a look. Now, look, my glasses, I need to take off because I can't read with my glasses on. I prepared this last will and testament many, many years ago, about 10 years ago. I don't give it out to everybody because this is a very detailed one. I put about 6-7 wills in front of me. I had a very good friend who was a very high qualified professional solicitor in the country, one of the top, without giving any names. And I got it checked by him. He said, legally it's fine. But this is just, there's no legal stamp on this. Now, very carefully looking at everything, it's about 8 or 9 pages. And it's not for everybody. And if somebody wants to write this, I have to actually explain to them, to go through it. It needs an hour explanation. So it just says, last will and testament, Islamic guidelines to read before completing this will, and there's a few basic points. But so you have the name here, address, revocation, I revoke everything beforehand, appointment of executors and trustees, 1, 2, 3, 4, etc. And then funeral and burial, burial wishes. And it's written in my estate. I direct the payment of all my funeral burial expenses be first deducted out of my estate, unless someone voluntarily chooses to pay. And then there's a few things. After payment of above, I bequeath that my executors determine what amount, if any, is due by me in respect of unfulfilled religious obligations, salah, sawm, zakat, etc., and pay such amounts to persons or charities as determined by executors. The total amount under this clause, however, shall not exceed one third of the net value of my estate after payment of funeral expenses. And then here, 5-4, please tick one box only. Now there's two options. In event of any balance remaining out of the one third of the net value of my estate as mentioned above, I bequeath X amount to be given to charity. And then you've got ABC, who are non-heirs. Payment for an MRI scan, because, you know, remember Islamically we don't want post-mortems, so payment for an MRI scan as an alternative to post-mortem if necessary. Please tick one. And the second box is, in the event I do not wish to bequeath anything, so choice, do you want to bequeath or not bequeath? Tick one box. And then there's other things here, attestation, and then there's an appendix. List of assets. Please include properties, banks, jewelry, cash in hand stock, pensions, whatever. Asset 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Write it down. Here as well. List of unfulfilled obligations and debts. How much unperformed salah. So what you do is you write down, because remember, Islamically salah is fard. It's an obligation. And we have to do qada. We have to start the qada. If we pass away and salah is remaining upon us, then there's fidya. Fidya is the same amount of sadaqatul fitr. How much sadaqatul fitr did you have? You had £5. But sometimes with this sadaqatul fitr, we put a bit extra just because, you know, it's charity, etc. And it's only once a year. So you can try to check. It might be less. And then also you can pay it in Pakistan, India, locally there, and there it might be like 50p. Something like that. Yeah, about 50p. If you've got so many salah and so many fasting, so give it to the poor there. Each salah, 50p, 40p, like that. So what you do is you write, I have 2,433 salah left. Each day after you finish your salah, you keep on amending this. This much salah done, this much salah done. If we die in the middle, they'll see how much salah is left. So every night before going to sleep, Do your qada every night before going to sleep. Change the number of how much salah you've got left. If you don't wake up in the next morning, if you are not born in the next morning after dying at night, Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana. All thanks to Allah who gave us life after He gave us death. We were sleeping, we were dead. Wa ilayhi nushur. It's a type of death. Sleep is a sister of death. So if you don't wake up in the morning, then people will look, okay, he's got 433 salah left. So they know exactly. Unperformed fasts, unpaid zakat, unfulfilled hajj, other obligations, outstanding debt 4, outstanding debt 2, outstanding debt who you owe money to. Everything is clear because everyone knows in the family what you've got basically. So all these things, whether you write it yourself on a piece of paper, just the point is make it clear. If you have a lot of high level estate, then you might need the services of qualified solicitor, especially if you've got tax involved, the inheritance tax and the threshold. I don't know what the threshold is now. Inheritance tax, how much is it? 440. So when you're getting to those realms, then you need some professional legal advice where they can try to avoid it, but like there's tax avoidance and there's tax evasion. So you don't do evasion, you do avoidance. There are people who can help you do that. You rather leave that money for your family than give it to all to Rishi Sunak. Who's the finance budget? Chairman, yeah. Just leaving it to the government, you'd rather leave it for your family, inshallah. So if you can avoid that in best ways, and if you've got properties, then do it legally, get professional help, do it in a way that people can't dispute it later on. Inshallah ta'ala, we end with that. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.